Hi, Perceptive Readers. This is James Lynch, and we're going to continue in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, out the NWT, or New World Translation, the versions of 1961, 1981, 1984. You see, before the revised editions that some of you have today. I want to conclude our special month of March with this reading out of my special Bible. You see, you know, I love this Bible that I have here, and it's, you know, it's a book. it's not being read online, and it's actually just one of those experiences. You see, I always talk about experiences, and I talk about the human experience. And in a world of AI and technology that's all, you know, going at the speed of light, it is something about sitting outside, spring, summer months, and even during the winter months when you find a nice cozy coffee place where you could just read a Bible in your hand and just take your time with it. And when you have thoughts or questions, hey, you don't have to rush. You can stop at those points and just meditate. What is this telling me here? What is going on? What is God talking about? Why is God saying this? Or, you know, what is happening in these people's lives? You can take your time and meditate on this. And I'm going to tell you something that people have wondered about. And I think some very highly intelligent persons have finally figured this one out. You know, there's been times where some children, you see, were being viewed as slow or even mentally retarded, and they just weren't. What were they? What were they doing? Why did they get viewed in such a way, especially when it came to reading and writing, comprehension, and things of that nature? Well, I can at least tell you that the whole mode of reading that I just described to you, there are some persons that's just the way they've been all their life. You can sometimes just give them one paragraph that should be read in a few seconds. And because of the way that they think and analyze everything, it may take a few minutes. And it's not because they can't read it any faster, but they're actually comprehending all the different facets and angles and things. And they do that even without, you see what I'm saying, trying to do it. It's just the way that their mind and brain functions at times. And so imagine, you see, being around a group of persons who are just really getting to the facts of the matter. You see, give me the facts now. And they read and they, you know, make high marks. And then you have, you know, some other students that may look like, oh, they're never going to get it. So something is wrong with them mentally. I just thought I'd share that with you, because when it comes to reading the Bible, as I tell you today, you can take your time reading it, and you can ask those questions. Look around. I mean, this book been around for thousands of years, and it was designed to be read over and over again. It really was. And so hopefully you'll take that bit of advice. Remember, so far in Exodus 1 through 4, we see where Moses got his commission to go free God's people, Jehovah. That he really did tell Moses his name. He did more than say that I am that I am. He also showed Moses the type of miracles he was going to work through him. And yet Moses still actually felt, guess what? He felt inadequate for the job. He felt it. And it was so much so that God even got a little bit upset with him, if I can use that term. Because of the way that Moses just was saying, look, you can get somebody else to do it or what have you. And so, you know, when Moses was considered to be a very humble man, he really was that humble. And that's why And some of the later chapters, which we won't get into in this special month of reading, you find when persons went up against Moses and Aaron, like the Korah tribe or the men of Korah, what have you. You know, I haven't talked about this too much, but my feelings always were of this, that you know Moses wasn't trying to abuse his authority. You can tell that from reading the scriptures. And so for those persons to go up against somebody like him, you can see why what happened to them as their judgment did happen. You see, and even then, Moses wasn't the type of person to want that type of stuff to really happen either. It's interesting because all the same, from Moses' experience, his background, his education, he actually was someone who was powerful in word and deed, but we learn from reading the Bible, he certainly wasn't abusing his authority and he had no desire to abuse his authority. So let's conclude with our Exodus chapter 5, our special reading, okay? Verses 1 through 23. And thank you for enjoying our special month of March. James Powatis Street Productions, you see. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and proceeded to say to Pharaoh, "This is what Jehovah, the God of Israel, has said. Send my people away that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is Jehovah so that I should obey his voice to send Israel away? I do not know Jehovah at all. And what is more, I am not going to send Israel away." However, they went on to say, "The God of the Hebrews has come in touch with us. We want to go, please, a journey of 3 days into the wilderness and sacrifice to Jehovah our God. Otherwise, he may strike at us with pestilence or with sword." At this, the king of Egypt said to them, "Why is it, Moses and Aaron, that you caused the people to leave off from their works? Go, bearing your burdens." And Pharaoh continued, "Look, the people of the land are now many, and you indeed make them decease from their bearing of burdens." Immediately on that day, Pharaoh commanded those who drove the people to work and their officers, saying, "You must not gather straw to give to the people to make bricks as formerly. Let them themselves go and gather straw for themselves. Moreover, the required amount of bricks that they were making formerly, you will further impose upon them. You must not make any reduction for them because they are relaxing. That is why they are crying out, saying, 'We want to go. We want to sacrifice to our God.' Let the service be heavy upon the men, and let them work at it, and let them not pay attention to false words." So those who drove the people to work and their officers went out and said to the people, "Here is what Pharaoh has said. I am giving you no more straw. You yourselves go. Get straw for yourselves wherever you may find it, because there is to be no reducing of your services one bit." Consequently, the people scattered about all over the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. And those who drove them to work kept urging them, saying, "Finish your words, each one his work, day for day, just as when straw was available." Later on, the officers of the sons of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten, these saying, "Why is it you did not finish your prescribed task in making bricks, as formerly, both yesterday and today?" Consequently, the officers of the sons of Israel went in and began to cry out to Pharaoh, saying, Why do you deal this way with your servants? There is no straw given to your servants, and yet they are saying to us, make bricks, and here your servants are beaten, whereas your own people are at fault. But he said, you are relaxing, you are relaxing. That is why you are saying, we want to go and want to sacrifice to Jehovah. And now go, serve, though no straw will be given to you, yet you are to give the fixed amount of bricks. Let me pause right there, perceptive readers. Talk about hardship labor. Talk about the unreasonableness of it all. Did you notice that? The unreasonableness of it all. Okay. Verse 19 to conclusion. Then the officers of the sons of Israel saw themselves in an evil plight at the saying, you must not deduct from your bricks one bit of anyone's daily rate. After that, they encountered Moses and Aaron, who were standing there to meet them as they came out from Pharaoh. At once they said to them, may Jehovah look upon you and judge, since you have made us smell offensive before Pharaoh and before his servants, so as to put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses turned to Jehovah and said, Jehovah, why have you caused evil to this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For from the time that I went in before Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have by no means delivered your people. So in conclusion, perceptive readers, one thing that you see that Jehovah will allow, he has his divine purpose. We know that. Yet, whether this is purposely what he was doing or just all a part of it, because it exposes everything, it goes to show how disrespectful, defiant Pharaoh was, how unreasonable he was. Here it is as a leader, you see, how cruel he was, you see. And then look at the effect that it had on the people. The people actually started feeling a certain way as if it was his fault, you see, as if it was Jehovah's fault or Moses and Aaron's fault when they were the ones there to serve him. Have you ever seen similar situations like that, or to save them, should I say, at this instance? Have you ever seen situations like this before? The very ones trying to help somebody are the ones that through intrigue, you see, machinations, misrepresentation, in other words, that would just describe the situation of the methods that the Pharaoh, you see, most likely was using on the people. It had the opposite effect from almost turning it like a, it made the people look like, in a sense, that their bondage was still better than actually, once again, doing what they needed to also do and show faith, you see, for the one that was going to save them, you see. So it showed a lot that was going on there, at least for the attitudes of the people, attitudes of Pharaoh, and the hardship, the hard labor that would have made it impossible for the people to get anything done. You know, talk about bad work conditions. Anyway, take care, perceptive readers. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. I hope you have benefited from this reading of the Holy Scriptures, also known as the Good Book and the Holy Bible, whose author is Jehovah God.